Children, come join me. How's everybody today?
Awesome.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear. Doing great today? Yeah. All right, I'm going to share a story with you from Luke, the 15th chapter. Now, in this 15th chapter of Luke, there are three stories. There's a story about lost sheep, and a lost coin, and a lost boy. And the one I'm going to share with you is about the lost boy. Okay? You ready? Ready to hear this story? A man had two sons. The younger of them came to his dad, and he said, "Dad, I want you to give me my share of the estate, everything I've got coming, all the wealth that I'll inherit. I want it now because I'm going away." And the young man, in a few days, gathered everything that his dad had given him in his possession, and he went away to a distant country. And while he was there, he foolishly spent everything that his dad had given. Y'all heard this story before?
Why does he sell greedy?
Well, we'll see in just a minute. He went there after he'd spent everything and he had nothing. He hired himself on to a farm. And there, being a Jewish boy, he had to feed the pigs. Something that Jewish boy didn't mess with. Each day, he got so hungry that he would have eaten what the pigs were eating. He was so hungry. And no one was giving him anything else to eat. But finally, one day, he came to his senses. And he said, as he was thinking, as he's sitting there, he was so dirty. He was sitting in the pig pen with the pigs, and he had been eating what the pigs were eating. And he said, "You know, even the servants of my daddy back home are doing much better and eating and having a good place to stay much more than I am, while I'm here dying of hunger." He said, "I'm going to get up and go back to my father's house because I have sinned against my father." So he returned, and Scripture says that his daddy was looking for him. Ever since he left, his dad had been looking for him to come back home because his dad had been praying for him. And when he saw his dad ran to meet him. And he said, "Father, I've sinned against the Lord and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Just let me be one of your hired guys." His dad said to his servants, he said, "Kill the fatted calf. Come and put a robe on him and put a ring on his finger, because my son who was lost now is found." Y'all know what that story is about? Why Jesus told that story? Anybody? What's it a picture of? He got lost. But what's it a picture of for all of us? That's how God views us. That though we're away from Him, though we've disappointed Him, that He stands there ready for us to come back home at any time and say, "I've sinned against you, Lord. I want to come back and be your servant." And what's the picture of the Lord? Just like the dad in the story, what's the Lord doing in the story? He's got his arms open wide, waiting for his son to come back home. That's how much God loves us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful story. I pray now that each one of these children will take this story to their heart. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives and how you're stirring their hearts. Pray, Lord, that you'll teach them your word here and in their kids' own time and in their time with their family. In Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Y'all can go to kids' zone. Isn't that a beautiful story? A beautiful story of the love of God for each of us. Well, I'm going to point out another part of that story today. If you have your Bible, you'll turn with me to James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4. And by the way, Brother Rick just finished up the book of James today at our 9:30 time. We've had a wonderful safari through James. We're going to be in verse 7. Let me read this verse to you and then tell you how it relates to the story that we just shared with the children. Verse 7 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Lord, I ask you right now that you'll bring your word to our hearts. May we receive from you and hear your voice as you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that verse have to do with the story we just read? What did the young man in the story, we call him the prodigal son, as he left, what did he leave behind him? He left money. He left the protection of his father. You might say he left the cover of his father. He had been living under the protection, under the blessing, under the cover of his father, but he left that. That's what I want to preach about today. What's the problem that we have here in our country? A big problem. Problem in our lives. We all think that we're self-sufficient. We've drank the Kool-Aid of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, haven't we? We've thought that this rugged individualism that we teach in our country really is true, that we can be an island ourselves and nothing's further from the truth. We've also thought that we can operate by our own agenda, that we can decide what we're going to do and that we can build our lives around our own agenda. That's a very popular teaching, isn't it? Goes, set your goals. And the operative word in that teaching that we say to people is, it's your goal. What's God got to do? The creator of the universe, the one who struck us in his own image, what does he have to do with an agenda like that? And then we go a step further. We then put our trust in others who believe the same thing. And in so doing, we have this mutual admiration society. The talk show, the nighttime talk show, is a very good picture of our culture. Because there you have people talking about things and patting one another on the back about stuff where both of them are wrong. They're coming to agreement about lies of the culture. Lies about what is truth, lies about what matters, lies about family, lies about marriage, lies about children. We feel like, well, if I can get enough people to come in agreement with me, then, hey, I'm okay. Like that book, I'm okay, you're okay. Any of y'all read that book? Well, no one's going to admit to have read. And here's the idiocy of the whole thing. We ignore the true enemy of our life. We ignore the places that are denigrating our society and destroying our relationship and destroying our homes, destroying the fabric of our freedom in our country. And today, in which direction would you say our country is headed? Right or wrong? Look, we can still celebrate many, many good things that are happening in our country. But what's the trend of morality in our country when it comes to family? When it comes to babies? When it comes to righteousness? Here's a good question. What if Jesus were here? What would he think? What would his opinion be? That's nice. And we don't have to say what if he were here. He is here. And what is his opinion? How does he see us? Now that young man that the prodigal son, he left everything that he knew. He thought he had a better idea. He thought he knew more than his dad. And just give me all I've got coming to me. Do you hear that ever? Have you participated in that in society? Just let me have what I've got coming to me. I'm going to live on my little island over here. Isolate myself. But here's the truth about our situation. We battle daily against an unholy alliance of three, don't we? And what are they? World, the flesh, and the devil. It's a battle royale that goes on. Is there any day, any time in the 24/7 that you have the 365 and a quarter days every year, is there any part of that time that's not operative? That battle goes away. Is there any time that it's not operative? So what does that call on us to have to be all the time? Vigilant. We have to be watching for the battle. No man is an island. If you think you can isolate yourself and you think you can do the battle on your own, then you've not taken inventory. You've not looked at life how it really is. You know, God in His wisdom, He's given us the body. He's given us each other so we can battle together and have that mutual strength in Him. See, God created us in community. You can't read John 17 and 18 and that passage is Jesus is and we see his great high priestly prayer as he's praying for us there and he's talking about him being in union with the Father being in him being in union with his followers, the followers, his disciples being in union. And when you come to the conclusion of that, you see, there's this oneness. There's this oneness. We see it manifested in this way in the body as we testify that, hey, I saw Jesus in you. Any of you testified that about someone else? You saw the Lord shining through a person's life? Of course you did. Because that's His plan. Most people in our world are living like this young man that left. They're living
without cover. They're living without protection. They're living without a body. They're living without a connection in life. Connection to the Lord and connection to the Lord's people. The nature of our lives demands that we live in community with the Lord. It demands that we live in community with one another. People right and left are getting beat up by the system. What happened to the prodigal son? He left. He had a good idea. I'm going to go do my thing. And what happened to him? There was the machinery of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what did it do to him? It just chewed him up. And out on the other side is produced. Here's a guy who's been divested of his stuff, divested of his what he thought was his identity, divested of everything that mattered in his life. And he's flat busted at the end of the day. Morally, spiritually, physically, financially, every way you, emotionally depleted. We see out there what was waiting on him. What was waiting on him was a line of people, of institutions, of businesses, that their whole design was to take advantage of him, to suck the life out of him. Is that not the world system? To absolutely just suck the life. As you see his face revealed in his hand and his work in so many things. It's been amazing to me the number of people. And I just pick one thing out of our city, okay? Follow me on this. One thing that goes on in our city. Do you know that we're one of the hot spots in the West, in this city, for human trafficking? Did you know that? Did you know that young people are regularly being ported through this port? They come through here and being shipped out of this place to other places. Lost children that are out on the streets. Teenagers that have been taken advantage of. And that's not some conspiracy theorist idea. That comes from those who have been arrested. We've had two big busts that have taken place right here in Savannah. Now, do I think they got any of the big boys? No. And then the trafficking of those that are coming into the country, particularly a lot that have come from Brazil and come from Central and South America, they're coming into the country. That's one little microcosm of stuff. I know it's not pretty. I know it offends your senses to think that in such a beautiful city, stuff like that would be happening right under our nose. But I want you to know that's the stench of the world system. That's the situation in which we live. How many of those children ran away from home? How many of them thought, well, I'll just go out and be on my own and do it myself? They're the prime target. Because in that, what have they done? They've done just like the prodigal son. They've run out from under the cover, the protection of the people in their lives that love them, that care about them, that are with them, that would lay down their lives for them. Have you heard some of the testimonies of some of those people who look at that situation? The relatives, the moms, the dads, the sisters, the brothers, the uncles, the aunts, the friends who say, I would have traded my life for theirs and not even know what's happened to them. But you see, When James says, submit therefore to God and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's talking about a submission that the arrogance of our souls resists. Because the very nature of sin, Adam and Eve showed it to us in the garden, didn't they? The very essence of sin is, I will, not God will. Right? Isn't that right on? Now, before we get to the end of this, I bet you there are a couple of you in this room are going to wish. You have a friend, you have a family member that wish they were hearing what you're hearing right now. Man, they need to hear that. Cover only comes by submission. We submit ourselves to God, therefore we then dwell under His cover. It's a very difficult command because you see, that command to submit to the Lord goes against everything in the culture. Because what does the culture say? It's all about you. Right? The world revolves around you. You're the axis on which the world revolves. Is that true? Or is that a lie? That's a lie. It's a bill of goods. Sold to willing people who are ready to believe a lie because it satiates their sin. You see, the Lord has provided cover for all who trust Him. Do you see the arms of Jesus outstretched? And what does He say? What does He say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How can that be true? How can that be true? The only way there can be rest is if someone is fighting the battle for you. The only way you can rest is if there is protection and you can dwell under the cover of someone who's bigger than the junk that is in your life. Are you following me? This is real stuff. Oh, he's not just preaching today. He's talking about stuff that really matters, that's on the firing line of where we live life. Because this is where we are on a daily basis. It's real stuff. So what's the solution then? We must submit ourselves to the Lord. That's where it all begins. That's what faith is. We sang about it. Gary, that song Gary led us in a while ago about faith. What is faith? Faith is the root word. Faith is the word pistuo. It means to throw your weight upon something or someone else. Your entire weight. It means you have released yourself totally and you're trusting in that. It's working the trapeze without a net and trusting that the guy on the other side is going to catch you. Have you seen that? Have you been to the circus and you see them do that spin? They completely leap and there's no wire on them. They're flying through the air. Like it says, with the greatest of ease. The daring young man on the flying trapeze. And they're flying through the air. But what happens if that guy or gal on the other side doesn't catch up? It's death. Because in life, we're not working with a net. There's not a plan B in life. There's only the plan Jesus. Plan Jesus, who provides cover. We start with our personal commitment to Him as we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He'll come and baptize us in the Holy Spirit. We're immersed in Him. As we're indwelt by Him. We claim the filling of the Holy Spirit as the very Spirit of Jesus comes upon us. And then what does He give us? We come into His family. It's not some ethereal, it's out here. It's, Twilight Zone music and all that. This spirituality that nobody can understand. What does He show us as the physical example of His presence? What does He bring us into? Right here. The body. Living, breathing people. His physical body, the hands and feet of Jesus on this earth, the church, we call it. The ecclesia. The ek, out of, ecclesia, called, the called out ones, we, the body of Jesus. Oldest institution next to the family, the physical family. You see, we have the protection. Just as a baby comes into a physical family and has that protection. Well, what happens when a baby comes into a family? Baby's born, and what do you do with a baby? Well, you give them a room, and you say, well, we got you here. Here's your room, and dinner's at 6, and here's your chest of drawers, and all. Is that what you do with that baby? Of course not. You bring that baby in, you raise that baby up. See, that's how it is in the body. As we become connected to the body of Jesus, He raises us up in the body. And it's physical and it's messy because diapers have to be changed. And they throw food that we dwell under. I remember Brandon, my oldest son, he had been through college and he was working and paying his own way. And Megan, our daughter, was still in college and she was getting close to graduation. And Brandon was home at Christmas and we were sitting around the table and they were talking about college. And Megan was talking about when she graduated. And Brandon said, well, I just want to tell you, Meg, said, you need to stay under the family protection as long as you can. Huh? The financial. That cover. What was he saying? He said, milk that puppy as long as you can. But see, there's a practical picture of that covering. You got it? You got it? We all need that in our lives. You see, the Lord also wants us to have practical accountability in our lives. That's another thing that He provides for us. And especially when it comes to guys with guys and gals with gals. Do you have a person in your life? Men, do you have another guy in your life that has permission to ask you hard questions? Do you? I'll never forget Chuck Swindoll saying this on the radio. I heard it 20 years ago. And he said, there's this guy in my church. He said, he's an old guy. He said, but about once every month, he'll corner me at a meeting. And he'll get right up in my face. And he asked me one question. He says, are you behaving yourself, boy? He said, there's not a man alive that doesn't need to hear that question. And I don't know what the questions need to be for you women. It needs to be something like that. I don't know how you think. I've been married a long time, but I still don't know how Miss Audrey thinks. But I'm not bored. That's by God's design for our lives. Women, you need someone, another lady in your life that has permission. And not just one, but several. The guys too. You need several people that you trust enough that they can ask you the question. And what I love is we made these accountability questions years ago. We thought we had the 12 perfect accountability questions. Worked on them for months. Had the perfect 12 accountability questions. You know, have you been watching what you look at, watching what, you know, paying attention to what you read, you know, things. All these questions, you know, we thought we had covered everything. And then we were in a meeting one day and several of the guys were sharing. And one of the fellows said, you know, I think we need to add a question. We added a 13th question. You know what it was? Have you lied about any of the 12 previous questions? Just one more, let's run by it one more time. Let's do a drive-by on the truth. You got me? You got me? This is part of that cover. This is part of submitting yourselves to the Lord and resisting the devil. And the way you resist the devil is that you submit yourself to the Lord and under His power. In our church, the way we're set up, we encourage you to be part of a life group. A life group where you can share, where there can be the sharing with one another as you're the church in microcosm, as you're living out life together, as you're getting to know one another, as there are people in your life. And you see this picture in the New Testament. In fact, it's kind of a blend like of a life group and of a house church kind of idea, because you'll see in the New Testament the church that was at so-and-so's house. They had a true eldership there. The elder that was the one that was experienced, that was teaching them, that was over them, had been for a long time. And not as a lording it over, but as a loving accountability of someone who had been there, done that, had the t-shirt, could tell you the pitfalls. That's what we're talking about. We have the cover of a congregation, of a body. Scripture says, and it's plain about this. Do you hear me on this? In 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Because the result of that is that you put yourself out in the world and out from under the cover of God. And what happens to the good ideas that come to mind? Dixie, what did you call it earlier? Stuck in stupid. You know, it's really, real easy to get stuck in stupid when you're outside of accountability, outside of cover. They say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, of course not. No. And you know, we don't preach going to church. We preach being part of the body. And it's different. Boy, they're having a good time back there. Phew. Bless God. We must live out our lives under the God-given cover that He has put there. Because what does it say? What did Paul say in Romans, where it talks about certain sin? It says, and God gave them up. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about people who willingly walk away from fellowship, walk away from accountability, walk away from cover, walk away, move away, place themselves in a place that's where, place themselves, I'm too busy for that. Or it's so erratic in our lives that there's no continuity to it. Well, who does that give open season on you? The evil one himself and all of his minions, the world, the flesh, the devil, we place ourselves in the line of fire. We resist the devil. It says there, as we submit to God, it's evident that we come and clash with another agenda. How many of you this week, when you were intending, you had chosen to do the will of God, came in a collision
with the evil one and his agenda.
How many? How many of you? Of course you did. You start going in the different direction because which way is the world going? With the evil one. You do that 180 and start going the other way, and what's going to happen? There's going to be a clash. There's going to be a collision. The battle has already been struck. And we are commanded then to walk in the freedom that the Lord has purchased through His Son, Jesus Christ. He lifts the weights of our soul. He gives us freedom. And we can live out this freedom not in a Pollyanna, willy-nilly, Scarlett O'Hara, I'll think about that tomorrow, kind of manner, but staring at all that is against us and saying, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's good stuff. There's power in the crucified, risen, and coming again, Lord Jesus. We look forward to His coming. He is not only our Savior of the past, saves us from our sin of the past, but He is our Savior who snatches us from these situations right now. I have no doubt. I agree with what Terry said in her email about that airplane, that God had stopped that airplane, that they could not board that airplane because there was a problem with that airplane, and that He provided another way. How many of those things happened to you this past week and you didn't even know it happened? But there was the Lord. A great Bible teacher on the radio, she used to say, and underneath the everlasting arms who are carrying us through life. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. So, my call to you today, are you living under the cover of God, or are you just pretending? Had this guy tell me years ago, he said, you know, I don't want other people messing in my life. Do you know what he's really telling me? It wasn't other people he was really worried about. He didn't want Jesus messing. Because Jesus was included in that other people. Might as well get used to these folks too. How long are we going to be together? Let's bow our heads. We're going to open the altar today, and if you want to come and be prayed for, I'm going to ask Rick and Dane, if they would, to join me on either side right here. We'll pray for you today. You come. Lord, I thank You for Your presence and Your power. I thank You that You're Lord over everything. You're Lord of life and You're Lord of death. You're Lord of that which is against us, Lord. And today, You want us to have joy and peace, and experience the forgiveness and the release of the Lord in our lives, and live in freedom. And I'm asking You, Lord, that today that we could submit to You and resist the devil and live that life You have called on us to live. Come, Holy Spirit. Come this time, right now. The altar's up. We'd like to get those cards from you today, and the basket in the front and
the back. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it at this time. Anybody going to go out of here lighter today? Anybody? Let's see. Look around you. Yeah, me too. Isn't it great when the stuff that the evil one put up as a wall for us, we can dance on the dust of it. That's a wonderful thing. God bless you. God bless you. Mike, good to see you here today. Justin, good to see you here, son. God bless y'all. We're glad y'all are here. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Greet one another. If you don't have a cold, greet one another with a holy kiss as you leave today.